The Broken Twig Podcast with your hosts, Nobs and Hirsty.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Broken Twig Podcast. We really hope you enjoy it. If you're listening to this, remember to rate us wherever you're listening to, share it with all your friends, and follow us on all of our social channels. We really appreciate all your support. And yeah, so anyways, let's get right into it. Hirsty, how are you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
Pretty good, yeah. Leafs still doing very well. First in league, they're rolling. So, yeah, and they play again tonight.
Connor McDavid, more like Connor Hall. Get it? Because he's Justin Hall's son.
Yeah, I do get it. It just wasn't a good joke at all. So, anyways, let's get right into it. Not so much news this week, but we should still start talking about it.
We just kind of mentioned it, but the couple days ago, the Leafs completed their sweep of the Edmonton Oilers, outscoring them 13-1 over the three-game series and using three different goalies. And after watching those, everyone knows Frederik Andersen is the worst goalie on the Leafs. Please trade him.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, yeah, and now because those wins, even though they did end up losing that game to Vancouver, like, can't really blame them. I'd still basically say they have the division pretty much wrapped up, barring a massive slide. I mean, they're 7 points up on Winnipeg. Winnipeg only has two games in hand. Like, the Leafs, they should be able to win this division. And that means that hopefully they'll start resting some of their players down the stretch just to avoid any injuries in the playoffs or, like, any burnout or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't understand why they didn't, after the season against Vancouver, it's a back-to-back. Why don't you sit Bogosian, Thornton, and Spezza, get Bord in the lineup, get in Liljegren in the lineup for a game, and get in someone else in the lineup, see what happens, see how they play. They're like, the old guys are probably going to be more tired because they're really, like, they're at the twilight of their career. This is kind of like a known, you know, you sit them on back-to-backs usually. I don't know why they didn't do that. It was an interesting choice by Keith, but I mean, it's not like it's a terrible idea. It's not like the players they're putting in suck. Like, Jason Spezza, Bogosian, and Thornton are all good. Just they're not going to get much playing time on the second half of back-to-back. And I really wanted to see how Liljegren would have played it, but they just didn't give him an opportunity.
So yeah, I totally agree. I do not get why players like Thornton and Spezza are still playing on the second half of back-to-back. When they signed them, I thought it was kind of implied that they wouldn't be playing in every game and they'd be resting and stuff, especially because the Leafs really good forward depth. So, yeah, I like Keith. I think he's done a lot of good stuff, but I still don't really get why he, like, it feels the need to play his players every single game. We saw, like, the Leafs, they still won a whole bunch of games without Matthews. I think if the Leafs are without Thornton or Spezza for a game or two, they'll be fine. Same with, like, that goes to Tavares, Marner, Nylander, too. I'm not saying yet. There's still a lot of time left to go. But I think it is time to start considering resting those guys, like, maybe every 5 games or something like that. Because I would rather lose a few games as the season goes on because you're resting good players than have those players either get too tired during the playoffs or get injured and stuff. Like, it's regular season. And if they fit, and really home ice advantage, it doesn't really matter anymore with no fans. They finish first or second in the division, doesn't really matter. Like, it would be good for bragging rights, but I just, like, you got to make the playoffs and see what you do in the playoffs, not really keep focusing on the regular season, especially because they've built up such a lead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and So we'll see how more of that goes. Also, with the actual series, the Leafs, like, they showed how good their defense can be. People talk about how the North Division is, like, a worse division. And first of all, it's not. Every division has shitty teams. I'm not going to mention them because I don't want to admit this L yet. We'll talk about that later. But they're just – It's a more offensive division, and the Leafs are playing really good defensively this year. They were able to hold Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl to secondary assist over a 3-game stretch. And that was Draisaitl who had that assist. McDavid had nothing, and he was negative for 2 of the games. Jimmy Vesey outscored both of them in one game.
Well, you know, I think there's a good point that I think you made there that a lot of people are missing. It's a lot of people, they misinterpret the North Division being high scoring as every team having bad defense. Now, that may be partly true, but I think it's also just because the North Division is the best division offensively. I mean, you look at all the teams, like the Leafs, they have the Big Four. They also have other guys too. Winnipeg, they have Scheifele, Dubois, like Wheeler, Ehlers, all those good guys. Edmonton, they have like Yamamoto and Ennis. Montreal, they have someone. I'm sure they do. Calgary has Goudreau. And oh yeah, that's true. Calgary. Oh yeah, that's true. Calgary, they have Goudreau and Monahan. Vancouver, they have Brandon Sutter and Louis Erickson. Ottawa, they have Tim Stützle and Brady Tkachuk. Like, every single team has elite offensive talent, and that is why it's so high scoring. Now, there are some teams that suck defensively, like Edmonton, they're pretty bad defensively. Winnipeg, I actually think they're kind of underrated. Like, they're not bad, they're not horrible defensively, but they also have Connor Hellebuyck, like, their defense is okay. Montreal, good defensively, and, you know.
Oh, Joel Edmondson and Ben Chiarot. We can get to the Habs later.
Yeah, but like teams, like yeah, just teams have there's just more offensive talent. And then you look at another, like the East Division, people are like, oh, well, look at this team. Like, they're not bad defensively. Well, just because like a lot of the teams just don't really have the elite offensive talent that the North Division does. And yes, there are some teams that are better defensively, but the East Division also has Buffalo, New Jersey, Rangers, Pittsburgh, like all those teams are not good defensively. They're not. Yeah. And it's just that they have less elite offensive talent at the top. Like the Islanders lead the East Division, and they are pretty much the opposite of elite offensive talent. And Bruins, they have some good players, but I really don't think that they have the same offensive capabilities that the Leafs do. Same with Washington, same with Philly. Like, even the teams I list, they're about, like, Pittsburgh, they have Crosby. Malkin hasn't been too good this year. And Gensel, I would not say that they're gonna as good offensively as, like, the Oilers or the Leafs and stuff. Same with Rangers, New Jersey. Buffalo's just bad everywhere, so.
Yeah. The Leafs are like, in my eyes, they're the third best team in the league. Based on points and points percentage, they're number one. But they're, like, in reality, Vegas is not probably true. Better.
They're third in points percentage. Vegas and Tampa are both ahead of them in points percentage.
On Thursday, they were first. Like, Thursday or Friday or whatever, they were first. But, what's it called? Yeah, Vegas. I would say Vegas is probably better. Same with Tampa. I think Tampa right now, they're missing their best player. When they get Kucherov back, oh my God.
Yeah, Tampa's just unfair. Like, it's like when you play a video game and someone makes like an all 99 created team and stuff. That just Tampa. How are you going to be first in the league in points percentage without your best player, second in the league in points percentage without your best player? Like Vegas, if I'm being honest, Vegas is very good, but I do see the Leafs beating Vegas. If there's one team that I'm afraid of, it's Tampa. I just don't really know how the Leafs can beat Tampa. They can shut down McDavid, they can shut down Draisaitl, but Tampa, they also have, I'd say they have as good, they're as good offensively as the Oilers. They don't have quite the top end off, like they have close up, but they don't have quite it, but they also have a lot deeper team, you know, like Edmonton, they're basically a two-line team. Tampa, you can't even rest when their fourth line is on the ice because they could still score. Then Tampa's also has really good defense. And the thing is, Tampa's defense can score too. With Edmonton, I don't really think that aside, Barry is pretty much their only defenseman who you'd actually be scared of creating offense. Nurse, I find him very overrated. I don't really think he's that good offensively. Like, Klefbom's injured and everyone else is fine. But, you know, in Tampa, like, they also have arguably the best goalie in the league too. So Tampa, basically what I'm saying is, I think the Leafs can be any team, but Tampa is the team that scares me the most, and they're the team that I least want to face, and I really hope they get knocked out before they get to playing the Leafs.
While you're talking, you're saying Vegas, but keep in mind, Vegas is still missing their starting goalie.
Leonard?
Yeah, he's still hurt. Fleury's playing like a superstar, but does it like Leonard's probably still their starter. I'm scared of Vegas, and I think as of right now, this moment, I think it would be a really close series that would go to seven games, but I'm not sure who would win. But it's close. But I think based off of playoff success and stuff, I think you got to say Vegas is probably the better team.
Yeah, but I just don't know if Vegas will be able to outscore the Leafs. You know what I mean? Like, the Leafs, I just think if all of the Leafs' offensive talents are on, if Austin Matthews is producing, if Marner's producing, hopefully Nylander's been good, but hopefully he can get, like, max potential like how he was last year. So, yeah, Tavares just needs to be really good. If the Leafs have their entire offense going, I just think there's no way that Vegas can outscore the Leafs. But Vegas, they have really good players, but they just don't have some where it's like 2 minutes left, down by one, you need a goal, you can count on that one guy. Tampa has it. They have Kucherov. They also have Point. I'd say both them guys are like that. The Leafs, they have Matthews. Like, Vegas, their best player, Mark Stone, he's more a defensive guy. He's a great player, top one of the tops in the league. But if you need a goal, I don't really think that you can count on him to be like, all right, this guy's going to score. You already know it. He's going to tie it up. And I just don't think they have anyone like that, which I think hurts them.
I mean, maybe, yeah. They couldn't score last year against Thatcher Demko, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Demko, he was really good. But even when you run to a really hot goalie like Demko, you need someone that can just – you're like, all right, this guy is putting the puck in net. Like, you already know. That's the reason why the Leafs got knocked out last year. You can point to all the unlucky and stuff. But it's because Matthews, he just wasn't where it's like, all right, this is Austin Matthews, best goal scorer in the league. He's going to score. When he is on the ice, you know that there's a 50% chance that he's going to get an amazing scoring chance that will probably go in. And Vegas, and then also, that's also like Tampa. They have two guys like that. Because Braden Point, I definitely think he's like that. Same with Kucherov. And Stamkos, when he's healthy, I think that Stamkos does have the it factor. All right, this guy, you know that he's going to score. Bit old, bit injured, I still think that he's like that. And, yeah, that's also one of the reasons why I'm scared. That's a reason why I'm not really scared of Vegas too much either.
Well, yeah. Well, I think Tampa, they're definitely the cup favorites. And I'm really glad that they changed the divisions because the Leafs could still finish second or as of right now. All right. The Leafs, if this was in the normal division, okay, the Leafs would be playing in the first round. They would play. As of right now, they play Florida, and the top four teams in the North Division would all not even top five. Top five would all make the playoffs. They would have both wild card spots.
Yeah, that's like I was playing. That's basically like once in NHL 21 when I was playing, and my team I finished at the second wild card spot, and I still finished sixth in the entire league.
Yeah, like
that's basically like
it's a bit different.
I am not missing the Atlantic Division at all right now.
Yeah, I am not. And because I hate the way they do it. It's the Leafs should not be having to play the Bruins at all.
Okay, ever. Well, Okay, well, the thing is, I do kind of get, though. I do like how that you're trying at the rivalries in the playoffs and stuff. It does kind of make sense. But, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just kind of unfair. And I like the 1-8 format better, where one plays 8, 2 plays 7. But then, on the other hand, if you do want to be a serious title contender, you should be able to beat every single team. And that's an argument.
Okay, but you shouldn't have to play against a top three team in the NHL every single year in the first round, who doesn't even finish first in your division.
Hey, yeah, I do kind of agree with that. Like, I think that is kind of true. How the Leafs, they finished with, in 18-19, they finished with 100 points, yet they still had to face, like, a team that was, like, 100. That was third in the league first round.
They finished way higher than the Jets. I think both those years they finished higher than the Jets. The Jets are playing Calgary. The Leafs are playing Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not – that shouldn't be happening. It's just – whatever.
The Leafs finished that year, the Leafs finished third in the Atlantic. But if they were in the Central Division, they would have been first, keeping in mind, like, regulation, OT wins and stuff. So, yeah.
It's gonna be good this year when we get to play the Canadian division, and they'll see when we prove everyone wrong freaking 8 months from now when we finally get to play another team. And anyway, this is kind of not really breaking news, but I just wanted to bring it up. Earlier in the year, I made a prediction. I said the Devils would finish it would make the playoffs in their division. And it's looking like I'm going to be very wrong. Their defense is probably the worst in the league. I'm watching this game. There's a game on right now. They're playing the Rangers. I was about to say they were terrible. Then they scored 2 goals in 17 seconds. They're down 3-2 at the end of the first. And so far they've given up 4 breakaways and 3 2-on-1s. In the first period.
No,
bad defensively.
I don't really think that you can say that the Devils are the worst defensive team in the league when the Senators blew on his Shabbat, Zaitsev, Gabrantsev, Eric Gabrantsev, Mike Riley, Braden Coburn, Josh Brown, and Artem Zub and Christian Wolanin.
Artem Zub's actually been good this year, just saying.
Great. Number 2 defenseman, Artem Zub. any team where Erica Branson and Braden Coburn are in your top 6 is not good defensively at all.
Okay, fine. They're not the worst, but they have 0 defensemen who are defensively responsible.
And I'd say Shabbat.
No, the Devils I'm talking about. Yeah. They have no defensemen that are defensively responsible. Ty Smith is horrible defensively. Subban is horrible defensively. Severson is horrible defensively. I don't even know if Kulikov is good defensively, but he's not great in general. So he has to be good defensively or he just sucks. Butcher's not great defensively. So
what about Ryan Murray?
He's not playing right now, but he's defensively responsible, but he's hurt. So
really? On Cap Friendly, it says he's on the active roster.
Well, he's not playing today, that's for sure. Sammy Vatanen, noted defenseman who is so defensively responsible. Oh my god.
I told you that the thing is, I still kind of believed you that the Devils were good, but just the third division so hard that even if they were actually like as good as you thought, there's so many teams that they have to pass to make the playoffs. I just don't see it. Like, I don't see how they can.
Their division is ass.
I don't see how they can be better than any of the Penguins, Flyers, Bruins, Capitals, or Islanders. I just don't see it.
I could see them finishing ahead of the Penguins. And the Flyers, based on how Carter Hart's been playing, they could finish out of the Flyers.
Well, okay, that's another thing, though. The Flyers are fourth in the division, and their starting goalie has been playing up to par. And personally, I think that Carter Hart will eventually go back to his normal ways. Maybe not, like, as good as Maybe like not 920, but I think they'll at least go back to at least like a 915 goaltender. So that'll improve them even more. I can see the Devils being better than the Penguins, but the Penguins still currently are sitting outside of a playoff spot in both points and points percentage. So even if the Devils do pass the Penguins, they'd still need to pass another team too.
Just for your information, Carter Hart has only been a 915 goaltender once, and he wasn't even the starter that year. So
I know, but that's true. But like, he's just someone that everyone expects them to be good. Like, they're supposed to be a franchise goalie. And he kind of has been living up to that. Like, I expect him to be
able
to get
that. He had 1 year of 914, and then he had 917 1 year, but he played 30 games. This year he's got an 893.
I know, but 890. Okay, fine. How about 910? Do you think 910 is fair?
Yes, I think that's what he could finish with, 910 this year.
Yeah.
He's a bit overrated. Just putting that out there. He's not the next Carey Price. He might be the next this Carey Price. This current Carey Price, who has had a crap ton of coaches with him in his career. The Mark Bergevin is just catering to do whatever it takes to make Carey Price somehow just return to 2015 form, which is not going to happen.
I know. And well, I think
this is what's going to ruin your team.
You don't think that Carter Hart can be how he was when he was putting up 947 in the WHL or 964 at the World Juniors?
No, I still think Hart's good, but I think we should transition to talk about...
Oh, hold on, actually, no. 964, that wasn't World Juniors, that was World Championships.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Carter Hart, yeah, he's good. He'll improve over the year, but struggling right now. Hopefully he'll get better. But Carey Price, Montreal Canadiens are doing whatever it takes to please Carey Price. Maybe you should be doing whatever it takes to get rid of Carey Price because he sucks.
Yeah, honestly, I think if the Canadiens can get any trade for Price where they are retaining less than $3 million and they get some assets back, I think they should totally do it. Like, if I was the Habs GM, I'd say that Price for a seventh is a good trade just because of his contract. It's just worth it. Like, those contracts are really tough to get out of, and it's only going to get worse as time goes on. So if you can find it, like, he still has...
They're not going to be able to trade him.
Mm-hmm. After the season, he still has 5 years left on it.
Yikes. And you can't just keep firing the coaches and the goalie coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the problem. He is the problem.
Well, there are other problems with the team too. Like, for example, what I was saying before with Vegas, how they just don't really have anyone who you can just count on. I think Toffoli's kind of like that, but I still think he's too inconsistent.
Vegas has Stone and Pacioretty or whatever, but...
I know, but what I say, but they're not... Like, Stone, he's more a defensive guy, and he still is pretty good defensive, but he's not like someone where you think, like, elite offensive talent, like player that you can count. And Pacioretty... I think he's kind of...
Pacioretty and Stone both have elite offense.
And then I think Pacioretty's kind of overrated after he was bad for a while, and then he had one, like he was good, then he was bad for a while, and then he had one other good year, and now people acting like he's amazing, like a top goal scorer in the league.
Oh, yeah, so overrated, right? This year, he had 12 goals and 20 points in 20 games. Last year, he had 32 goals, 66 points in 71 games.
The year before, 40 points, 66 games, 37 points, 64 games. Then back to like, and
he
then
had two bad years.
And that, he is like, at his max, he's like a 35 goal, 70 point player. That's William Nylander, basically. 35 goal. And would you say that William Nylander is someone where it's like, all right, end of the game, like clutch time, you need a goal? This is who you're counting on to get it. Would you say that William Nylander is someone like that?
Absolutely, I would. Did you not just watch the game against Calgary?
Yeah, I guess that's true. But
okay, well, we're talking too much about like Vegas kind of, because I mean, I'd still like Pacioretty's not a superstar, but you know, Montreal has nobody like either of those guys.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And like I said, Toffoli, I think he's the closest guy, but I still think he's too inconsistent to be like that. And yeah.
Yeah, and you also, which you can't have your goalie who you're paying $10.5 million to have an .893 save percentage and a 6-4-3 record.
And like that same thing, it's the same with like goalies. It's very good to have two great goalies where you can both think that they're good. But come playoff time, you need to have one guy where you're like, okay, I can put this guy in and I do not have to worry about goalies. That's the problem with Carolina. They have two pretty good goalies, two goalies that could easily be like one B's and stuff, but come playoff time, I don't think they have anyone where you'd be comfortable putting them in. Where, like, if you're on the ice, or like if they're on the net, you're not really worrying about them giving up a bad goal or throwing a game or anything like that. And you really need someone like that to go deep.
Yeah,
just like how you need a lead goal scorer.
Price is gonna have to step up because Jake Allen, he is a very
Doesn't have to be goal scorer either. Like elite goal scorer / offensive talent.
No, but with in terms of goalies, like with TJ, well, oh, fuck TJ Brody, with Jake Allen, he is like a not good starter, but he's a good backup. But if Price doesn't figure it out, they're gonna move him to starter. He'll probably struggle, and then they're screwed. Which I'm okay with seeing that because I hate the Habs. But you're not developing your core. Young core is not developing great, and by that I mean Kotkaniemi, and also Nick Suzuki, kind of overrated. I'm probably gonna face a lot of backlash from that, especially from my brother who's a Habs fan. But people are talking about like he's the next best superstar. He's next. One of like next better than Pedersen, something like that. He's not even the best, not even top from his draft class, not even close. Why aren't people like comparing someone who I'd compare him to is someone like Marty Natchez, and nobody's talking about him as being like really special. They were drafted at around the same spot. Natchez has been more points this year, performing more. He's not a center. Suzuki's a center. But still, like, people, let's settle down on Suzuki, okay? He's in a similar kind of situation to Barzal, except.
I wouldn't really say so. I think that with Barzal, just the system that's made, like, for the Islanders, it's the system that makes them really good defensive. But the Habs, I don't really say, like, their system, it's kind of – like, I don't really know how their new coach plays, but I think their system, it's not really that defensive, it's just the players that they have that are defensive. Okay, and I would just like to bring up that because of the way that Price's contract is structured, by buying out his contract, I'm pretty sure they have to pay at least $9 million for a bunch of years, like after buying him out, like no matter what.
You also can't buy him out because your last franchise goalie that was amazing for you also had a terrible ending to it. So I don't know if you could do that again.
Well, like so if they bought him out, let's say they decide, you know what, I'm going to buy him out like this offseason, and that would be $9 million for next year, $10 million. Like these, the cap hits in order. So starting with 2021-22, $9 million, $10 million, $9 million, $9 million, $9 million, then $600,000 for 5 more years after that. So no matter what, by buying them out, they are going to have to pay like a big cap fee.
Yeah,
so
that's
really not an option right now.
Yeah, buying them out is definitely out of the question. Not just because of that, because of the whole loyalty factor, and we have to sacrifice the strength of our team because you played for us for a long time and were good for us 5 years ago. They can't leave him unprotected for the expansion draft. So similar to like Florida, it's going to be, they have Caden Primo, who they want probably next year to become like their future goaltender. How do you expect to do that when the other goaltender, you can't move? He's on a $10 million. You got to play him. Like, Driedger should be getting way more starts than Bobrovsky, but they just can't do that because what are they going to do with Bobrovsky?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I agree with that totally. Now Bobrovsky can't. Okay, so now I just want to talk to – I just want to leave that to another topic just so we can talk about. What contract do you think is the worst out of these three? Carey Price, Jeff Skinner, Sergei Bobrovsky.
Oh, God. You want to do a whole segment on this?
Well, I just want to know because – so on one hand, you have Carey Price, probably now like a bit below league average goalie, earning $10.5 million for, including this year, for 1, 2, 3, for 6 more years in the future. Then you also have Sergei Bobrovsky. I'm pretty sure his is $10 million, and it's for another. It's also for 6 more years. I'm pretty sure. And then Skinner, his is also 6 more years. I'm pretty. Yeah, Bobrovsky is one. Yeah, Bobrovsky is 6 more years than Skinner is. Skinner is also 6 more years. So all 3 of them are their contracts are for 6 more years. Price is making 10.5, Bobrovsky 10, and Skinner 9 million. Which contract of those 3 do you think is the worst?
Sorry, how much is Bobrovsky making? 10? I thought he's making 10.5.
No, he's making 10.
As much as I want to say Carey Price, he performed super well in the playoff last year. And, like, he can still always turn on the Jets out of nowhere. And for that reason, I'm going to say Nikita Zaitsev. I think the worst one is probably Bobrovsky's. And it's going to get worse because he's not contributing, like, at all. He's horrible. Basically very similar to Price, except he just can't perform in any situation whatsoever at all.
Hey, well, also, this one, I'm pretty sure that Bobrovsky's contract is also a lot more buyoutable, too. So prices, you won't have to pay him for as long, but you'll have to pay a hefty cap hit for a lot of years. And then Skinner, like, also, I did, like, the buyout calculator on Cap Friendly, and it's not as big of a cap hit, but it's for a lot of years. Like, if they were to buy out Skinner, they'd still be paying – hold on, just wait a second. Yeah, if they were to buy out Skinner, they'd still be paying him until 2023. So, like, that's certainly not ideal. And Sergei Bobrovsky, it's still until 2031. That's, like, less money and stuff. And, like, the max cap hit you'd have to pay is $6.8 million, which, don't get me wrong, is still a very big – dead cap hit, but still a lot less of an impact than Skinner and Price. So you should keep that in mind while ranking them. But I'd say that Skinner's is the worst, because the thing is, Skinner, like, he's not even playing. Like, he's a healthy scratch for them. So at least, like, Price and Bobrovsky, okay, at least they're contributing something.
He should be playing. He's still an okay player and brings stuff to the table. Bobrovsky openly hurts his team. Hurts his team way more than Skinner.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm actually going to say Bobrovsky. Oh, because the thing is, Skinner, I think that Skinner can still be good, but he's used really improperly. Like, he's playing, when he does play, he's playing like 9 minutes. He's playing with a very bad line mate. I think that if I actually wrote an article about this. I didn't publish it anywhere. But, like, I think that playing Skinner with Eichel, I don't think it would really make much sense for the team just because they have Hall now. But, if they at least played Skinner with actually better players, he could be good. And if he did play with Eichel, well, it may not be, like, that good for the – like, that – ideal for the team. It would certainly, I'm still thinking at least 30 goals. Like playing on first line with other very good players.
30 goals is a bit of a stretch, but he can still contribute. And
he was a 40-goal scorer just 2 years ago.
I know, but he doesn't hurt his team nearly as much as Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky kills his team.
And also, Skinner's still young. Skinner is only 28. That's the thing. Like, other guys, like, it's – I'm pretty sure, like, the why they're declining that. It's probably just, like, age and stuff like that. But, you is know, Bobrovsky, like, Price –
How old is Bobrovsky's 32?
Bobrovsky's 32 and Price is 33. Skinner's 28. So I think that Skinner, it's not decline, just like bad usage and stuff. He's definitely, and also he had one very good season and then they paid him thinking that he'll play like that one very good season for the rest of the contract. But Skinner, I definitely still think he can be like at least like a top six player in the league still. Bobrovsky, I think at this point he's basically just a backup slash like a high quality backup. Same with, and then Price is just like a platoon guy. I don't really think that either of that at this stage either of them can be more than that. So I would probably,
I mean, and, Price could be more,
and I'd actually say that Price is at worst just because it's basically impossible to buy out Price's contract.
Yeah, but he can still play. He can still play.
But
the ability for Price is very much still there, and you saw it in the playoffs, right?
Well, let's say, like, but the thing is, like, when do you think Spencer Knight will actually get to the league? Like, I'd say he's been
23 or 2024.
I think he's been very good so far, but I still think he'll need like two more years. He'll probably play another year of college, then one in AHL. So two more years, that'll be like 2023, right? So like, yeah, it's like 2023. So if they were to buy out Bobrovsky's contract, then it would be six and a third million, and then after that, just like one and a third million. So while it would be a very big dead cap, it's not horrible, and especially because the cap, it should be back to going up by then. Like Kevin Shattenkirk, he's making $6 million in dead money and stuff. So like technically, if the Panthers did want to get out of Bobrovsky's deal, there is a very clear way to get out of it. Price's deal, they're basically stuck with it unless he retires. But I'm pretty sure they still have to pay recapture fees.
They could still get stuff out of Price. Like, he still could play good. He played really well in the play-in rounds.
Yeah, but I still think that Bobrovsky can still play very good too.
Stop kidding yourself.
I still think that he can. The team in front of him, I don't think
Bobrovsky is the def. The team in front. Don't talk about the team in front of him, because if you compare him to the other goalie on his team, Chris Drieger, who is not getting paid time, he's 7-2-2 with a 2.25 goals against and a 9.26 save percentage. Bobrovsky is also 7-2-2 with a 3.11 goals against and an 8.97 save percentage.
Well, Price has an 8.93.
Yeah, except Price can still help his.
I do agree with your point that Price was a lead in the playoffs last year, but I feel like that's just kind of getting lucky.
If you're against against Carey Price in a series, you're like, oh, he could steal.
Yeah, but Price hasn't been.
Do you think Bobrovsky can steal a series? In my opinion, absolutely not.
I think he can.
I think you're delusional.
He did it with Columbus not too long ago.
I mean, yeah, not too long ago, 4 years ago, and now he sucks. So
that was like 2 years ago, 2019. He did it 2 years ago.
Fine, 2 years ago, but he was horrible last year and he's horrible this year.
Yeah, I do agree with that, but I also think that the reason why I'm picking Bobrovsky is I think at this point in the career, I don't think there's a path for either Price or Bobrovsky to be starters, and Bobrovsky's contract is a lot easier to get out of than Price's.
Okay, well, agree to disagree.
And also, Bobrovsky, even if they don't buy him out, he's still making less than Price.
By a barely.
Hey, for a team up against the cap, 500K is a lot. Because, like, if you include the salary of center that they're, like, assuming that the person that the player adding is replacing, like if you add a player, they're going to replace someone, right? So assuming that the player that's being replaced is making around like 800K, that's like $1.3 million. You can get a very solid player for $1.3 million.
I mean, yeah, I guess. But still, Price offers much more to the Habs than Bobrovsky because Price offers his leadership and stuff.
I think that's kind of dumb if I'm being honest.
I think you're kind of dumb if I'm being honest. You thought Bobrovsky's contract not terrible.
I never said it's not terrible. I do think it's terrible. I just think it's less terrible than the Price contract.
Okay. Well, let's see. Carey Price plays tonight.
Well, and also, Carey Price has a no-move contract. Clause for his entire contract. Bobrovsky only has a no trade clause, hasn't in the last two parts. Oh, wait, actually, it's modified no trade clause and no move. So he can still be traded in the last 2 years. I don't really know why a team would want those last 2 years. Maybe it's like the cap, maybe hockey's balloon, the cap goes up by a lot and they retain a lot. It's like, all right, it's a $5 million backup goalie.
I guess, but like no one's gonna want to trade for that contract late in the deal. So I mean, yeah, we'll see how it evolves. Neither of them will age well at all. But Price offers way more to his team than Bobrovsky.
I don't agree with that.
Well, what does Bobrovsky offer to his team then?
I think that he offers the idea that he was an elite goaltender that 2 years. I don't think he was elite 2 years ago. He's actually coming off a pretty down year when he signed that big contract. And it was one of those all the contracts when they signed them, they're like, what? Like, that's not going to age well. Even the Price one, when he signed it, he still was pretty good. Like, he signed it in 2017. So he signed it, it was July 2nd, 2017. So that's coming off the 16-17 season when he had 923 save percentage and a 933 in the playoffs. But even then, like, you could tell it was for 8 years, and you're like, oh, yeah, 8 years? That's not going to age well. Like, by the time that contract's finished, he's going to be, like, 38. So same with the Skinner contract. Everyone can see, you know, when he signed it, like, he had one good year. He was a very good prospect. But you can tell that, all right, this contract is not going to be good, maybe even right away. Like,
he had more than one good year.
Yeah, but he scored, like, 40 goals, and they're like, all right, he's going to be scoring 40 goals every single year that he is with us. Like, he had 63 points and 40 goals, which is – pretty good. Before that, his highest goal total was 33, and his highest point total was 63, which was his rookie year.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
and the next year after, and then even still, like, he had 40 goals, but only 23 assists, like 63 points, even with 40 goals, is still not that great. It basically, and normally when someone's I don't really have his advanced stats, like, not, but normally when someone's goals to assist ratio is that big like that, that means that most of their points are on the power play.
Yeah.
And they've just basically been like been the person who's getting the slap shots in the first power play and stuff. Then year after, he gets 23 points and 14 goals in 59 games. And this year he's played 18 games and has one assist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all. Oh, yeah, and also, I just want to... That after that, he has only 2 of the years in this contract, there actually are signing bonuses. It's like most of his contract is just base salary, which is why his contract is so easy to buy out. Like, yeah, I figured it out. So, like, basically, after 2023, there's no, yeah, after 2023, there's no signing bonuses. So they just have to stomach the contract for 2 more years, then they can buy him out for very limited. Like, it's just $1 or $2 million for most of it, and there's 1 year where it's $6.5 million. But other than that, it's pretty manageable, especially because, like I said, the cap will probably keep going up. So, like, Jeff Skinner contract, Sabres fans, don't worry. You only have to stomach through it for 2 more years, including the not including this one.
Only.
Mm-hmm. Only.
Well, moving on. The Leafs, we talked about them earlier. They're doing really good. But I think everyone's talking about that they're probably going to make like a deadline acquisition, might need to make one. So I think one of the possible options, well, a couple of them, one of them is Granlund, maybe even Hall. But one of them that the Leafs could target, a young forward with extra years left, he'd probably be really hard to get. This is very possibly unrealistic. But Philip Forsberg, young, he's only 26. He's still really good. He would fit really well in that top six, make the Leafs a very even better team than they are right now. They would totally have to give up a ton of assets to get him, which I don't like. But if it makes them win a Stanley Cup, it's a good thing. But yeah, what do you think?
And also, he's only making $6 million, so it'll probably be like half retained just to make it go through. And also, because of how it works, it'll only be like a prorated cap it for the rest of the season. So I think that if they get him, and assuming it's retained, it'll probably only be for like $2 million against the cap or something, which is really good. Not really, like, I'm not really sure how all that stuff works with like prorated cap and stuff, but yeah. And it's not exactly a rental because he still have 1 year left on his contract. But so yeah, but to get him, it means that like the Leafs would probably they probably have to give up, I'd say, Liljegren, another prospect and a pick. He's a very good player.
Yeah, they probably have to give up a play like Kerfoot too, like an NHL player. This he has $6 million cap hit. He's getting especially paid. When does it expires?
Yes, next year. He has 1 more year after this year. But like I said, for this year to be prorated, and it would definitely have to be retained. Like half it would be retained just to go through. And the Predators are starting a rebuild anyway, so they don't really need that extra cap space. And but yeah, he's been very good to start the year, which certainly should boost his trade value. He has 22 points and 10 goals in 23 games.
Yeah, this year he's got a market. This is the market value is a bit inaccurate, but his market value this year is 11.2 million. His expected goals for per 60 at 5-on-5 is 86, which is like, really good.
Like 86%?
No, on the, you know, the player cards, the it's 86. I think it's 86%. No. His expected goals for per 60 is 86.
Yeah, well, no, his expected goals percentage is 55 this year.
Yeah, I
don't know. Yeah, but he still has been very good this year, very good player. So it should take the Leafs a lot to get them. But the thing is, I really don't want the Leafs to give up too much for him. I think that the Leafs have a very good team, and it would be a mistake to trade too much for someone like him. And if they get him, it would mean that they would be losing Hall in the expansion draft, unless they make a trade with Seattle, like give them a second round pick not to take Hall or something like that. But then that would mean
a good idea.
So if they get Forsberg, that would mean that they either lose Hall or they lose Dermott plus like a second round pick.
No way. No way. You would have to give up a lot for that. If you make a trade to make someone not pick someone, you always have to overpay.
Yeah, I know. I think a second is a pretty good value, especially because we still retain some from your team.
I don't think Vegas would do that. Or Vegas. I don't think Seattle would do that.
Hold on, just give me a second. I'm gonna go trades by team.
What did Florida give up? They gave up Marchessault and a pick, right?
I don't know. Well, yeah, so I'll go back to like Florida. So it was Riley Smith for a fourth round pick. Riley Smith was not to take someone else, and then they took Marchessault instead. But like expansion, like it was Nikita Gusev's rights, but he wasn't going to sign with Tampa anyways. A second and a fourth, that was what Tampa paid for them not to take someone. So yeah, it seems like it's basically like a second round pick not to take someone. There's also Columbus, that they also paid a first, a second, and David Clarkson not to take it. So it's basically like the first was to take on Clarkson's contract, and then the second was not to take who they wanted, someone that they wanted. So basically, yeah, it seems like a second round pick was basically the going rate for them not to take someone. A second round pick, they're like a good player, so they probably have to give.
Yeah, interesting.
I also think it depends too on if the Leafs view Kerfoot as a winger or as a center. Because if they view him as a winger, then they're definitely better served to try and get a third line center instead.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's just my thoughts. But anyways, now that we've been talking about that, let's see what other people have to think. Because let's go to Cat Friendly to view some mock trades.
Yeah, I've already got one ready. This is for Philip Forsberg with the Leafs. By the way, Buffalo was playing really well today, and then they gave up 3 goals in 5 minutes. So now they're losing. But so here's the trade. Toronto and Nashville. Philip Forsberg at 50% retained for Kerfoot, Robertson, and a first-round pick. Now, this is definitely an overpayment. Philip Forsberg is like a rental, basically. And the Leafs would not have to give up their best prospect plus a first-round pick. They would probably have to give up maybe a first, but I don't think, like, maybe Kerfoot, Liljegren, and, like, a second.
I think that Robertson's a non-starter. I think that he's one of the untouchables on the Leafs. They definitely don't want to get rid of him. And I think that, especially because he can contribute to the lineup right away, so I think that this trade is a no-go for the Leafs. And this is one of the things I'm thinking of. If the Leafs have to give up Robertson plus for Forsberg, that means that's not worth it.
Yeah, I don't know about untouchable, but, you know, yeah.
It's kind of funny, though, how pretty much every single trade here is either involves the Sabres or the Leafs. And the Leafs, just because they have a lot of fans and people only care about the Leafs, is it? Okay, so this is another one. It's a combining of them two, Sabres and Leafs. It's called Leafs Cup Run Hall Rental by Web973. Kenny Agostino, Joey Anderson, and Alex Kerfoot for Taylor Hall. Okay, so this is definitely a no from the Sabres. They're going to want more for Hall. They're going to want more than a third line center, and a B-minus prospect in a minor league. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I'm not sure. The Leafs are probably like, I'm going to look for another trade. Nope.
Yeah. Okay, do you want me to do another trade? It's okay. So this is another one. It's called Franchise Shifter. Ooh, this is Flames and Sabres. I bet you this is going to be good. It's by Grizzy. Brandon Montour, Jeff Skinner, and Jack Eichel for Sam Bennett, Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, Noah Hanifin, and David Rittich. So this certainly is a franchise shifter, though I pretty much think, like I discussed before, Jeff Skinner contract, and first of all, I'm pretty sure he has a no-move clause, so he'd have to waive it. Second of all, I don't think there's any way that they're getting rid of that contract via trade. So that's pretty, like, if someone's like, okay, GM, you have to take Jeff Skinner in that trade, they're like, nope, I'll do anything else. I will not take Jeff Skinner. So, that's like, Jeff Skinner, at this point, he has negative trade value. Jack Eichel, very good. But you're also giving up, and then the Flames, they're also giving up, like, Sam Bennett, Sam Bennett, at this point, I don't really think he has much value. He's making, like, $2 million, and he's not that good. Like, he's a healthy scratch on them, so I don't really, the only value he possibly has is because he was a former top five pick, but yeah, like, he has zero value. And then Johnny Gaudreau, one of their core pieces, been rumored in trades a lot, but he definitely has some trade value. Yeah, and then Sean Monahan, another one of their core pieces, so that's, like, basically their core. Like, Johnny Gaudreau and Sean Monahan, those are the two players that the Flames are basically trying to build their team around. And Noah Hanifin, too. He's kind of overrated, but he's a pretty good defenseman, can play in your top four. So, yeah. And David Rittich, too, who's their backup goalie and a very good backup, too. So, yeah, this is definitely a trade.
If I was Buffalo, I would do this. I mean, Calgary, I would do this. You're getting a franchise cornerstone and you're giving up two great players.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of swapping meh.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is just way too much. And the chat, like, Jeff Skinner contract, I don't care what you're getting. And, like, it better be, like, it's just, like, Jeff Skinner just something that you can't take on, especially if you're taking on the cap hit of, like, a Skinner and Eichel. Like, basically the only way to get, like, to even the stuff to make it so that you're still under the cap is to give up, like, a whole bunch of pieces.
Yeah. So, yeah, another not great. Normally I see a lot of picks in this.
Yeah, no. This is also weird trade because it's all players. You'd never see trades like that anymore. This is what this trade had eight different players gone.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's a lot of players.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah. So I have a good trade here. Well, not necessarily good, but it's a trade. It's a thing. So it's the Leafs trading to Carolina, a 2021 second, Alex Kerfoot, and Frederik Andersen for Alex Nedeljkovic and Teuvo Teravainen. Horrible deal for both sides. The value is not even whatsoever. Carolina has given up more, in my opinion. Also, the Leafs, why would we give up Frederik Andersen for someone who's probably going to be our third goalie?
Yeah, and also another thing is Teuvo Teravainen, he's a part of Carolina's core. So you need to give up to prime up. Like, that's something else. When someone is deemed part of their core, you need to give up a lot to get them, because it's based like, all right, this is the player that, like, this is one of the players that we're going to build the team around. So that basically means that, like, if someone's part of your core, that means that they're basically untouchable. So you'd have to overpay if you want to get them. That also goes to all you Nylander traders out there too. And Freddie, I'm a Leafs fan, but I'm just going to say, Freddie Andersen, that is a rental. I don't even know if you'd re-sign with them. Alex Kerfoot, he's a pretty good third line center, can play wing too, but I just don't think he's, like, he's also making a pretty rich deal too. And then second round pick, like, it's a pretty good pick. I think seconds are kind of undervalued by GMs in the league. But yeah, like, I just think that this is definitely not enough, especially because you're getting Alex and Jelkovic back, who he can be. I think he's kind of old now, though, to be a prospect, but, like, he can be, like, your backup or third goalie. So, yeah, I just think that the Leafs are not giving up enough.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't make sense for either side.
Yeah, that's also true. The Leafs, I don't really think that they need Tevu to run. Like I said, he's part of their course. They need to give up way too much to get him. Then also, I just don't really like this trade, if I'm being honest. It just doesn't really sit well with me. Okay, so find another trade too. These are very fun looking at the trades and stuff. So, this is to Eichel to New York Rangers. This is pretty much all these trades are Sabres trades. It's created by Pete. Oh, wow. Actually, this guy must have. How do you get a username like that? This guy is a member since 2016. But I'm just saying this guy must be very, OG and stuff to be able to get a username like that. If someone has a username or just a first name, that's respect how you managed to get something like that. So, Pete, let's look at your trade. You better have done a good trade to, command you usage of that name. So, it's Jack Eichel for Brendan Smith, Ryan Strome, Vitali Kratsov, and Capo Capo. Never mind, Pete, you don't deserve to have a four-letter username that is an actual name. This trade is bad. Brendan Smith at this point is just dead cap. I get it, though. You need to have, some cap hit going the other way. So, Brendan Smith, and then Ryan Strome, I'd say he's pretty much a third-line, fringe second-line center, so. And then Vitali Kratsov, he's a pretty intriguing prospect. Could be something, but I don't really think he's too great. Yeah. And then Capo Caco, he's the main piece in this trade. Second round pick a year ago. Hasn't really been able to put it together too well in the NHL so far.
Yes, he has.
Really? Has he been good this year?
The points, but he's been really good this year.
I don't know. I don't really. Do you know who Jay Fresh is?
Yeah.
Because he did an article on his thing during the pause or something about Capo Caco where he analyzed him to see what he was doing. And really, he figured out why he wasn't doing too good. And it's not even that he wasn't putting up points. Just the way that he was playing was just not good.
Yeah,
and apparently he hasn't been too good this year either. A lot of the time he said that tunnel vision, he already knows what he's going to do before he even does it. And he can't really shift the plan and stuff. He just,
I think that's false. I think he's been fairly good this year. And I think the analytics are there to back it up. So
okay, really?
He's facing more elite competition than 56% of NHLers.
Well, that's the fault of New York Rangers coach for putting him in that position.
Oh yeah. New York, their coach is horrible. They're screwing up Lafreniere like they did with Kako last year.
You're right. His analytics are pretty good. Not amazing, but they're pretty good. But still, I still think that you're a bit too high on him.
Okay. I think he's good. He's not getting the proper opportunity.
Only six hits, though. Six hits, that means he sucks.
He sucks.
Only six hits.
Leafs, trade him. Trade for him. Give them Alex Kerfoot and a seventh round pick.
But still, I understand. But still, at this point, this still is not enough for Eichel. I think that people are very much misjudging Eichel's value. He is a franchise player. He is someone that you build your team around. All right, we have Jack Eichel. What else are we going to do now? I was talking about before, you need someone who you can count on to score, to create a play. Jack Eichel is. He is the prize of your franchise. He is the face of your franchise. You need to give up more than a young player who hasn't really been able to put it together too much in the NHL, a B prospect, and two roster players. You need to be able to put together a better package than that if you want to get Jack Eichel.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree with that for sure. How many other trades?
All right, we can do a few more.
Yeah.
We've been going for an hour, so let's do one more each. Okay, so Hurst, do you want to do a trade?
You can go ahead and do one. I have one right here, which is kind of funny. I could do this one actually. Wait, what the hell? Oh, it's a three-way trade. Never mind.
Don't do three-way trades. Okay, so this trade, I was talking before about Vegas needing something.
Oh, God, it's worse.
What?
It's another Eichel trade, but it's so much worse.
Okay, what's the trade?
Ryan Strom, Julian Gauthier, Braden Schneider, 2/3 and a first-round pick in 2022 for Eichel.
Can you repeat that again?
Ryan Strom, Julian Gauthier, Braden Schneider, a third-round pick in 2021. Oh, two 2021 third-round picks and a 2022 first.
Okay, so Schneider, he's just taking this year. So that's like a first-round pick, right? So that's two first, 2/3. Gauthier, no. I'd say he's like, he can play in the NHL, right? But he has like second-round pick value, I'd say.
It's like a first-round pick, but you don't get to choose the first-round pick. And it's kind of like a guy – like, I don't think Braden Schneider's that special.
Yeah, but he was just picked in the first round pretty recently. So, I'd say he has, like, first-round pick value. So, it's like two firsts, two thirds, and a third-line center. I personally don't think that that's enough for Jack Eichel. Like, think.
Nope, not at all.
Like, think, like, in other sports, too, because these type of trades don't really happen in hockey. But, like, I know picks and stuff have different values and stuff. Like, look at other sports. Like, in football, Jamal Adams was traded for 2 first-round picks. And in football, first-round picks have more value because that player is going to contribute to the team right away. And stuff. So, first, I have a lot more value in football and hockey. So, that's 2 firsts for a player. Well, he's pretty good. He's not, like, franchise player good. So you need to keep that in like mind too. Like when you think of the context of these trades, you need to give two, like I'd say the minimum, like if the Rangers would be 2 firsts, Kaapo Kakko and Ryan Strom, and maybe even more than that. If you want to be able to get Jack Eichel, that's what I'd say. Okay. Well, anyways,
you got one?
Yeah. So this is talking about, this is like the topic we were doing before, which Vegas needs a fresh goal scorer. So this may be like, so a finisher. Oh, this is, oh, okay, this trade. No, that's a dud kind of, the person didn't do the trade properly. So I'll do another one. This is Price for Eichel. Ooh, this is going to be good. Curtis Lazar, Carter Hutton, Jack Eichel, and Rasmus Asplund for Paul Byron, Carey Price, Josh Brook, I don't know who that is. Yusupari Kotkaniemi in a second. Carey Price has negative trade value. Paul Byron, fourth liner. Yusupari Kotkaniemi, pretty good player, not enough for Jack Eichel in a second round pick. Got it. Like Carter Hutton, he's also not too good either, so he doesn't really have any trade value. Curtis Lazar, I'd still say he has some value. He's like a bottom six player. Rasmus Asplund, he's like a fourth liner. So basically, like Rasmus Asplund, because the cap hit and stuff, Asplund and Byron have the same amount of value. Brook, no value. Price, negative value. Kotkaniemi, good value, but not great value. And a second round pick. Then Jack Eichel, like this is not enough for Jack Eichel. Like, okay, so Lazar and Byron cancel each other out. I mean, Byron and Asplund, like they cancel each other out. Price, that's like negative value. So I'll like remove Kotkaniemi from that because I'd probably say like that's how much negative value Price has, maybe even more.
No, so you're giving up
a second round pick and Josh Brook for Jack Eichel, Carter Hutton, and Curtis Lazar.
It's basically you're giving up Eichel for Kotkaniemi and a pick and Carey Price, who's over.
But Carey Price, we were talking about this before. It's an anchor. It's 6 more years, making $10.5 million with basically no way to get out of it unless the team's dumb enough to trade for him.
Yeah, but it's not as big as of an anchor as what Kotkaniemi will do for them. So that's a bit much.
Kotkaniemi, he's like, how old is he? Like 20, 21, young player, like has shown very good promise at the
big league. Third overall pick.
I think his floor is second-line center. Ceiling is first-line center. You know, like, that's like an A-minus prospect, right?
I disagree.
Just like, an A prospect is probably, like, someone who you'd pick, like, 5 to 10 or something like that. And then, like, And it, well, he's not really a prospect though, because he's playing in the league. So I wouldn't define him as a prospect. But you know what I mean. Ah, damn it! Ah, I just hurt my arm.
Nice one.
All right, that is not good. I think that we can. Ah, that hurts. Don't worry, I'm fine. I'm tough. Well, I think that we can end it here, everybody. Thank you for listening to this. We really enjoy your support. Remember to rate us, follow us on all social media, and goodbye.